Chapter 5.
Well, I did get there before midnight, of course, but I was dashed late all the same, as might have been expected on a day like this. The two-seater, usually as reliable as an Arab steed, developed some sort of pox or sickness halfway through the journey, with the result that the time schedule was shot to pieces, and it was getting on for 8 when I turned in at the main gates. A quick burst up the drive enabled me to punch the front doorbell at about 22. I remember once when he and I arrived at a country house where the going threatened to be sticky, Jeeves, as we alighted, murmured in my ear the words, "Child Roland to the Dark Tower came, sir." And at the time I could make nothing of the crack. Subsequent inquiry, however, revealed that this Roland was one of those knights of the Middle Ages who spent their time wandering to and fro, and that on fetching up one evening at a dump known as the Dark Tower, he had scratched the chin a bit dubiously, not liking the look of things. It was the same with me now. I admired Devril Hall. I could appreciate that it was a fine old pile, with battlements and all the fixings. And if the Devril who built it had been with me at the moment, I would have slapped him on the back and said, "Nice work, Devril." But I quailed at the thought of what lay within. Behind that massive front door lurked 5 aunts of early Victorian vintage, and an Esmond Haddock who, when he got on to the fact that I was proposing to pull a Mary's lamb on him, was quite likely to forget the obligations of a host and break my neck. Considerations like these prevent one feasting the eye on Tudor architecture with genuine enjoyment, and take from 50% to 60% of the entertainment value of spreading lawns and gay flower beds.